Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you live, Des Moines, Iowa. Springtime. Wonderful. In the Mercy Live Up Studios, as always, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. You can catch us streaming live, iowacatholicradio.com. And if you have the Iowa Catholic Radio app, Blessman Ministries, People's Abstract Company, you can hear us anywhere that there is the internet. Bud, how are you doing?
Doing all right. I wanted to start today with a shout out to my mother. It was her birthday yesterday, so happy 39th birthday, Mom. Happy belated birthday. So I love you and hope you had a wonderful birthday.
Oh, we're including moms now. I'm going to outshout you
okay.
to my mom, Beth Bonner, a year without cancer. We're really glad to hear about that, Mom.
Praise
Are we going to like move on to like other family
no,
members?
No, I'm trying to one-up you now.
We love our moms, people.
My dad once hit 35 free throws in a row in our driveway.
My dad once got really angry at someone at a pizza restaurant because they mispronounced our last name. We should probably stop.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we have quite a show for you today. We will actually bring on more people than family members, people. We actually have Dr. Matthew Umbarger, who is the assistant professor at Newman University. He's sort of an all-star on our show. He will be coming up to join us. His big thing is he got to go to the Holy Land, and we thought, what a better way to talk about Holy Week than someone who can tell us about the sites while we're there. As always, we're underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences that gainfully employ Bud and I, but also provide a wonderful service to our community, particularly getting people the sort of jobs that they can raise families, but also affect the common good by being involved in the health sciences. Bud, what's going on campus recently?
Well, it's an exciting time right now. One way that Mercy College is different than a lot of other universities is our academic year is set on a trimester. So we're actually gearing up for the summer semester, and orientations are going on for that. So it's fun to see the new faces and young people who are interested in furthering their medical career at Mercy.
And if summer, of course, is, you know, coming up too soon, we're also starting in fall. You can really always sign up all year round and get started. And if you want, if you're interested, we will be doing Stations of the Cross and the first day of the Divine Mercy Novena, the chaplet, this Friday at 11:30 a.m. So feel free to come join us for that. Also, Cartridge World, underwriting our show as always.
Yeah, Cartridge World. I know this is the time of year where you have a lot of printing needs. They're the place to go, whether it's a business, home needs, college students, busy moms needing affordable ink or toner cartridges. Cartridge has all that you need.
801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. Business customers have pickup and delivery. They are committed to recycling and environmentally friendly printing. And they are just wonderful people ran by a wonderful family. So please support our sponsors who support us and underwrite our show.
Yeah,
like
go ahead. I'm guessing that Joe is probably over KU's Elite Eight loss now.
You got to get used to it if you're a KU fan. It happens enough.
But it's been a few weeks, so you'll be greeted with a smile.
That's
sure
right. The smiles have returned to Cartridge World. Like I said, Dr. Umbarger is going to be joining us here very momentarily. So stick around. We'll be back in a minute with The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher.
Thank you, LearningRx, for underwriting Catholic Women Now.
With over 95,000 satisfied clients, LearningRx brain training programs help your child learn easier, think faster, and perform better.
LearningRx, 515-224-4819, LearningRx.com.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for your support of Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Construction Professionals is a family-owned business dedicated to our customers. Whether designing, building, or renovating, we are here to better serve you. CPCustomHomes.com. Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, providing commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. 515-222-4860. Joe at tworiversglass.com.
We are back with The Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher. Bud, I have not got to travel extensively because I don't know if they'll let me back in the country. Have you got to see many foreign lands?
No, I've been overseas just once, and I'll be honest, I'm kind of fearful of flying. And I know, trust in God, and I do I do the best I can in every area of life, but just hurtling through the air at over 200 miles per hour in a small space, it's not my favorite thing to do, so I don't, like, jump at opportunities to travel. But I've been to Mexico, Trinidad, not the Holy Land. I guess that's kind of what we'll focus on this morning.
That's right. We have a world traveler. Not only did Dr. Matthew Umbarger recently go to the Holy Land, he actually studied and got his PhD over there, so he knows the Holy Land very well. Matthew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. A blessed Holy Week to you and a happy Passover.
Thank you. And same back to your family. It's good to hear your voice. And one of the nice things about Facebook, I always kind of dog on social media. It's nice to see when folks like you and the group that you took over were visiting all these different sites in the Holy Land and seeing people, you know, taking photographs in front of these places. It sort of makes everything, you know, really, really real. And how did it feel to be back in Israel after being gone for a while?
It was wonderful. I was, to be honest, I was really, really honest, really anxious. I was responsible for 38 other people. First time I've ever taken a group to the Holy Land. And I've had small groups, family, friends come while I live there, but I've never taken a tour group like this. And so I was really nervous that something terrible might happen and I would be responsible. And everything came off without a hitch. God's graces were abundant, and I think only two people ever even got sick. And then just being able to stay a few more days and see old friends and family, and it was just wonderful.
Well, Matthew, I think the reason that we thought this was such a natural fit for Holy Week is, you know, the Way of the Cross is a devotion that a lot of people start doing through Lent, but really it seems to intensify during Holy Week. And, mm-hmm. you know, St. Francis had of Assisi came up with the idea precisely because he knew not everybody can take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So we were like, well, let's kind of help people in this short time take a pilgrimage through your pilgrimage. Why do you think it is, or what do you think it says about the faith that there's this enduring appeal to take an actual pilgrimage to Jerusalem, theologically, as it were?
Mm-hmm. Well, our faith, I think part of it is because we are spiritual Semites, as our saint, Pope John Paul II, said. So the Jewish people, they had pilgrimage festivals where they would go to Jerusalem three times a year. And so I think it's kind of in our spiritual DNA to take a trip, take a journey, and to reconnect with our faith. We have Christian records of Christians going on pilgrimage since at least the time of Constantine. The very famous pilgrim of Egeria. We think she was a nun from Spain who makes her way to Egypt and then through the Holy Land. Some of our earliest descriptions of the holy sites and of the worship that was taking place in those sites, a very important record for us. And then since then, we just have abundant accounts. So this is something that Christians have done for centuries.
Yeah, Matthew, I like how you rooted it there in the ancient Jewish faith. And the Way of the Cross, of course, for Christians is sort of like the preeminent like idea of pilgrimage mm-hmm. that we have in our spiritual lives. But as you pointed out, this has got a venerable history to it. And our Lord, of course, it looks like he marked time in this way. In the Gospels, some of the most important events in his life take place on these high festivals of the Jewish religion.
That's right. The first one that we know of that's recorded is when he was 12 years old. And so he goes to Jerusalem with his family for Passover. And so in the book of Luke, we hear about this. So, yes, Jesus himself did pilgrimage. And then in his own life, he kind of charts a path for pilgrims to follow when they come to Israel themselves. And in a sense, you know, it's always a joyful experience for Christians to reconnect with their faith in this way. I can tell you so many stories of seeing people, you know, just saying, this is the place, this really happened here, and seeing tears stream down their faces, seeing them fall to pieces, just with the realization of what they're seeing. And yet, in a sense, I think it's also important to be solemn and somber as you see these places and hand over your own suffering, all of the tribulation in your own life to the Lord so that he can unite it to his own.
It's neat to hear those accounts of how people are so moved by being in those sites. And to me, it goes back to the incarnational nature of our faith. You know, God, in a sense, didn't come as a spirit and just dispense knowledge. You know, our Lord is the source of wisdom, but the Son of God came in the flesh. And so we can talk about him sanctifying even places, you know, and we can worship God anywhere. But I think for Christians to have a kind of a tangible connection to where our Lord walked and preached, I'm guessing it is very moving.
Well, all of creation is sanctified because Jesus came and sanctified particular places. So we have access to Calvary from our own altars here in America because there is a literal Calvary in Jerusalem.
Well, this is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. We have Dr. Matthew Umbarger with us talking about Holy Week, the Holy Week sites and pilgrimages. And Matthew, I love talking about pilgrimage because it's really easy for the faithful to decide that church is a building or a group of people like me or just a denomination and like any other. And there's a way in which when we talk about pilgrimage, we start to go, no, we are a body on the move. We are a body going to a place. We have a goal in front of us. We have a history behind us. And pilgrimage is just such a powerful way to wrap all of that up so that people can digest the dynamic nature of what we mean when we say we're the church. So that being the case, I was thinking maybe we could, so to speak, walk with you and stop through a few of the sites that accompany Holy Week. And if maybe, I don't know if you want to set the scene or if you want to just talk about experiences you had with your recent trip. And I mean, I think the place to start would be the triumphant entry Palm Sunday. Any thoughts or just anything you want to leave for our listeners about setting the scene about what that was like?
Well, first of all, I just want to, what you said about the universal church, one of the things that you experience when you go on pilgrimage to Holy Land is you keep running into groups of other pilgrims from all of the church. So you'll encounter Africans, Europeans, Asians, and all of these people are there for the same purpose. And so it really does broaden your perspective about the identity of Christ's body. And also, it's not just a synchronic experience of the church, but you also, as you're visiting these places and you that have been venerated for centuries and centuries, you're also encountering the pilgrim church through time. And so you really do connect with the body of Christ in that way. Let's start on the Mount of Olives. So when you come to Jerusalem, the first place that any tour guide will take you is the Mount of Olives, because you get to look down on the holy city. You see the Temple Mount there, occupied now by the Muslims. And you see the wall around the old city. It's a Turkish wall, but parts of it incorporate the older wall. Probably some of the gates are still built on the foundations of the gates that were there at the time of Christ. So you're there on the Mount of Olives, and you proceed down towards the Valley of Kidron. And the first place that you stop is a little church. It's built kind of like an upside-down teardrop, and it's called Dominus Flavit. And it's there that we remember our Lord's mourning for Jerusalem when he, during the triumphal entry, he pauses to weep because he sees what is about to befall Jerusalem because of their rejection of their Lord. This, I think, in so many ways, it's such a great place to start your exploration of Jerusalem, because you get to look down, you can see from Dominus Flavit, you can see the two domes of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They're very visible. And the way it's built now, the altar has a cross that is kind of like X marks the spot. If you look across the altar, towards the cross on the altar, it points exactly out where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is. So Jesus, as he's coming down the Mount of Olives, he sees Calvary, this rock that is projecting. It's probably the highest point in the old city of Jerusalem. And so he sees what's about to happen.
Wow. Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, yes.
I've never thought about that, that he would be walking in and see Calvary. Oh, wow. That really changes things. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. And so when you go to that place, you read that story, and then it all kind of comes into perspective. And everything else, and I think, you go to the Temple Mount, you go to the wall, and then you do the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha. But all of those are kind of overshadowed by the cross and the resurrection that follows.
Yeah, when you're talking about the visuals of Jesus approaching Calvary as he's going down the Mount of Olives, Bo recently was sharing a verse with me, Luke 9:51, where Jesus resolutely turns his face to Jerusalem. And just hearing your thoughts about pilgrimage and then thinking about that verse as we transition from Lent to Holy Week, you know, part of it is, as much as possible, entering into the passion of our Lord and accepting the crosses that God places before us. I mean, it'd be nice to spend all of life on the Mount of Transfiguration, but, you know, this week is a reminder that we're called to pick up our cross as well.
Yeah. There's a mosaic there at the church, Dominus Flevit, where it says it has a hen gathering her chicks under her wings, which is from Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It really does. You get this kind of panoramic vision of what is going to unfold. The other place where you kind of get this kind of sense of the sweep of the passion is on the other side of the mountain that is the old city of Jerusalem, on what's called Mount Zion today. So there is the house of the upper room where it's a medieval building, but it marks the location, we believe, of where the Last Supper was. And you go up on the roof of this structure, and right across this little alleyway is the Church of the Dormition, where a lady fell asleep. And you look, and you can see right below you, a couple hundred yards down the hill, is the Church of St. Peter in Gallicantu, where we believe Caiaphas had his house, and where the Sanhedrin met to condemn Jesus to death. So where Jesus was brought from Gethsemane. So you can see from this rooftop, you can see the Temple Mount, you can see the Kidron Valley, and you can see this little stair step, this trail that goes right down next to Caiaphas' house. And we think that this is where Jesus and his disciples, after the Last Supper, they would have made their way down that hill, right past Caiaphas' house, where Jesus is going to be condemned, to the Valley Kidron, and then up a little ways to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's arrested. And then they're all brought right back up to that place, up the hill, where Jesus is condemned to death. So it all takes place, you know, and you can see it all. You get kind of a bird's eye view from a couple of these places, and you see where this all occurred.
This is The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher, speaking with Dr. Matthew Umbarger. Matthew, the thing that is just striking me is, you know, I'm constantly trying to tell people that, you know, we abstract the scripture, or that we will identify with who we think the good guys are, and obviously sometimes the scripture wants us to identify with the people who are not so good. And it makes me think that when you get these bird's eye view, or that you're walking around and like you're getting the dust on your feet, that it starts to become a lot more real that these people who rejected Jesus were just like us, right? They lived down the street from each other. These scenes that are so horrific and graphic, they're next door. That it starts to be. It sounds like it's impossible to go to Jerusalem in the way of Christ's suffering and step away and act like we're not complicit in that story. Do you get that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. I always feel like, you know, it's in some ways it's kind of a grace that I live now, because I have the benefit of all these centuries of thinking about this story and thinking about who Jesus was. I don't know that if I had been there in the first century, I would not have been in the crowd shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I think, you know, when we read that those passion narratives this week, just on Sunday, I was thinking this, that the way we do it in my church, many parishes do this, the people, the crowd, cry out those words, and it always makes me so uncomfortable when I scream out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But the truth is, my sins did drive him to the cross, and so I'm guilty. I have his blood on my hands, but his blood is what blesses us and makes us whole. So, it's a wonderful irony.
Matthew, we're getting close to the break, but I was wondering real quickly, if you could give our readers a sense of the room in which the Last Supper was celebrated and what it was like to be there.
I wish I had something like nice and romantic to tell you. So this is the other thing about going to the Holy Land, is it's not all like these. You don't hear angels singing. You don't.
Yeah.
It was crowded and noisy. I think there were well over 100 people in there, and it was just kind of impossible to find some quiet and to meditate on that place. And we actually didn't spend a lot of time in there.
Well, to interrupt you, Matthew, because I know something else, and I want you to get to talk about it before we let you go. You got to spend the night in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre?
Yes.
So let's wrap up with that, because that's too cool not to talk about briefly.
Yeah. So I've heard about this for years, and I've never gotten to do it. And so I was there. I was going to make it happen before I came home. And I don't know where to start, or, you know, just to encapsulate it, I think I've been home now nearly 2 weeks. It's been exactly 2 weeks since I woke up, since I left the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. You're not allowed to sleep there. And every night since then, I've had some dream about that, and it has really embedded itself in my subconscious, that experience, and I think that's why pilgrimage is. You can be a wonderful Christian, you can be a saint, no doubt, you can be more saintly than I am by far, without making pilgrimage, but it really does affect you in ways that you don't even realize. And so every night I've been having this dream about being in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They only allow 15 people from each community that kind of runs the place. And I think there were maybe 7 people there that night. So when we went there as a group, the whole church was full. But being there, I was with, for instance, I spent about 3 hours praying in the tomb with only 3 other people. And just to have that time to stop and reflect, and you're not just being herded through like cattle, like most of the times when you visit these places. It was a very graced experience.
Well, Matthew, this is so fantastic. I wish we had 30 more minutes to explore this more. We got to let you go. Thank you so much for coming on during Holy Week to try to make this real for people. This is Dr. Matthew Umbarger, assistant professor at Newman University. Matthew, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
We'll be back in a minute, folks.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at cindyschulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, providing commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. 515-222-4860. Joe at tworiversglass.com. Thank you, construction professionals, for your support of Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Construction Professionals is a family-owned business dedicated to our customers. Whether designing, building, or renovating, we are here to better serve you. CPCustomHomes.com.
We are back with the Uncommon Good. I know we ran long with that segment, Bud, but I was just so fascinated with everything Matthew had to say.
No, I think what Matthew was talking about was just great, and it was justifiably a little bit longer of an interview.
Well, folks, we're not going to do a great moment in church history this week because this Holy Week is the greatest moment in church history, and there's just no way to do better than all of the Holy Week masses and everything like that.
Yeah, no, I wish all of our listeners a blessed Holy Week. We thought it wouldn't be quite appropriate to be too goofy during this solemn, very Holy Week, so we pray that our Lord blesses you in a special way as you celebrate and walk through those final hours of his life.
So we have some stuff coming up that after the great jubilation of Easter that we hope that you guys tune in. We have our normal show next week, but then after that we have the Carathon, which runs the entire week of April 24th. That is always a fantastically fun time, a time to contribute back and help our mission here at Iowa Catholic Radio. So we hope that you guys can join us for that.
Yeah, last time the phone calls picked up a little bit when I promised push-ups, so maybe there's push-ups.
Right,
in
we
store.
Might need. Yes.
No, that was fun. I do have a fun time with the Carathon. Also, Bible in a Year is still ongoing. That's 5 a.m. here on Iowa Catholic Radio. And so if you want to delve deeper into the sacred scriptures, that's a great way to do it. Of course, the rosary is right afterwards. We have the rosary after our show today, so a lot of opportunities to pray here at the through the radio station.
So, guys, I mean, I know that it's sometimes a sacrifice to get the whole family out, but if you really can, Holy Thursday Mass, Good Friday, the vigil is fantastic. I wish you all the love and the grace you can have this Holy Week. It is such a special time of year, such a grace-filled gift that we get to walk with Jesus the way of the cross, but then also to rise with him from the tomb. This has been the Uncommon Good. We pray that the Prince of Peace reign in your hearts and your families, in our cities, in our state, in our nation, in the entire world. The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. We will see you next week. God bless. Have a wonderful Holy Week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.